Okay, just move that over there. That'll disappear. And ready for takeoff. We've done our pre-flight checks, so we're ready for takeoff. So good morning to you all. Welcome if you're online this morning, and to those of you in the church as well. Psalm 24 tells us that the earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. For he founded it upon the seas and established it upon the waters. Who may ascend the hill of the Lord, and who may stand in his holy place? And the answer the psalmist gives us is, he who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not lift up his soul to an idol or swear by what is false, and he will receive blessing from the Lord and vindication from God his Saviour. Back in those times, they used to journey up the hill to the temple to worship the Lord, to enter into his presence. And as they gather, they would receive the blessing of God. And as we come together this morning, we do exactly the same thing. We gather together in the name of the Lord Jesus. And we come to confess our sin, to worship him, but also to receive the great blessings that he gives us. So let's do that this morning. We're going to start in song. Our first song this morning is Come People of the Risen King. It's a reminder of God's people coming together, that we come from different backgrounds and different experiences, but we come together in the name of the Lord Jesus. So if you're in the church, it'll appear up on the screen. And if you'd like to stand, we'll sing this together.
Bring him praise. Come all and tune your hearts to sing to the morning star of grace. From the shifting shadows of the earth, we will lift our eyes to him. With steady arms of mercy reach to gather children. One heart, one voice.
Please be seated. I'm going to lead us in prayer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do come this morning and we rejoice in your goodness, in this your new day to us, when we can gather together as your people to worship you, the one true and living God. And Father, we come from different backgrounds and different experiences. Father, some of us may have had a great week. Others may have been struggling this week as well. But Father, when we gather together, none of that matters, because we are reminded of the riches of your grace. We are reminded of your great love for us in and through the Lord Jesus. And we are reminded that this time that we have together is a mere speck in eternity, which you govern and which you reign over. Heavenly Father, we thank you that when we gather together as your people, that you bless us, with your presence, that you bless us through your word as it speaks to us and encourages us and comforts us. That, Father, we are blessed as we enjoy fellowship together, Father, around the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, these are wonderful blessings that we need each and every week. Heavenly Father, we do realize this morning our shortcomings and our failings. Father, while we're constantly reminded of your great love, we're also constantly reminded of how unworthy we are and how we need Jesus Christ as our Savior. We thank you that he died for us, the righteous for the unrighteous, so that we can be friends with you. Father, we thank you that each day you pour your abundant mercy and grace into our lives. That, Father, each day we know that we need your forgiveness because of the many things that we do wrong. And so, Lord, we come this morning together to celebrate once again your great love and your great mercy shown to us through your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Remind us again, we pray. May we grow in that love and grace and mercy which you bestow upon us each day. For we pray and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Our first reading this morning is from Psalm number 84. It's on page 420 if you're following along in the church Bibles. Psalm 84 is for the director of music. It's according to Gittith, which is probably some sort of musical term. It's of the sons of Korah, and it is a psalm, Psalm number 84. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord Almighty! My soul yearns, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may have her young, a place near your altar, O Lord Almighty, my King and my God. Blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are ever praising you. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, who have set their hearts on pilgrimage. As they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. The autumn rains also cover it with pools. They go from strength to strength till each appears before God in Zion. Hear my prayer, O Lord God Almighty. Listen to me, O God of Jacob. Look upon our shield, O God. Look with favor on your anointed one. Better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those whose walk is blameless. O Lord Almighty, blessed is the man who trusts in you. This is God's word to us. We have a couple of announcements for today. So next Sunday in here will be the combined service. Our friends from the Anglicans and the Uniting Church will be here. Hopefully we'll have a good crowd and good attendance, and we'll enjoy time together around the Lord Jesus, but also a time of fellowship together. So that's next Sunday. And note the time, it's 9:30, so you get to sleep in. If you're online, just be aware there's no online service next week. So you have to come to the building at 9:30. And we have another ad for ladies' Bible study.
God is pulling back the curtain, and he's invited us to see into the reality we most need to see. And let me tell you what we're going to see. We are going to see the opposition that we can expect to escalate, the endurance that we need to cultivate, the judgment that surprisingly we're going to celebrate, the victory in which we're going to participate, the enemy whom Jesus is going to annihilate, the sorrow he's going to alleviate, the creation he's going to regenerate, the marriage he will consummate, and the home we can anticipate sharing with him forever. That's what I call blessed.
So if you're interested in that for ladies, Amy's the person to see for that one. Okay, this brings us to our kids talk for this morning. And you'll see there on the board that we are talking, our final tool in our series, our toolkit, is about attending church this morning. But before we do, I've got a little exercise for you. God gave his people 10 commandments. Can you remember what the 10 are? Any ideas? What did God tell his people to do or not to do in the 10 commandments? They shall not commit adultery. Number 7. Another way of saying that is keep your promises. So when you marry someone, you want to keep your promises, or do not commit adultery. Yep, very good. Do not steal. That would be number 8. Do not steal from others. Yep. Yes, don't cover your neighbor's donkey and that sort of stuff. Number 10. Yep. Don't be jealous or envious is another way of saying that. Don't desire something that doesn't belong to you. No other gods before me. That's number 1. Very good. No other gods besides God. Yep. Going well here. Sorry. Kill. Yes. Number 6. Number 6. So don't hurt others, not only with our actions by killing them, but also with words as well. So that's number 6. Yeah, honor your mother and father. Yes, that's a good one. Number 5. Yep, obey your parents. Yep. It's a good challenge, isn't it? If you remember 10. How are we going? We've got 6 out of 10. 6 out of 10. Any last takers? Otherwise, we'll have to reveal them. Ah, yes, Sabbath, number 4. Yes, Sabbath. Yes. Okay, 3 to go. Do you like a clue or 2? Clue or 3? Okay, don't do this. Yes, don't bow down. Don't bow down to idols. Yeah. Yep, number 2. Thanks, Amy. Okay, and then something about the name of God. Yes, number 3. And the last one is when you use your mouth, talk. Lie, number 9. There we go. So there's our 10 things that God gave his people to do. Now, I'm just going to focus this morning on 3 of them. Okay, so here's our first one. Okay, now the first commandment, no other gods beside me. So is that saying you should have 0 gods, 1 god, or more than 1 god? Which is the right number? So what's the right answer? No? The answer is, Amy, one, okay? We live in a world where it says there is no God. That's not right. God told his people not to have many gods, okay? He said, I am God and God alone. So we have one God, okay? Next one. Then he said, when you worship the one God, the one true and living God, you are to not have any idols. And the question is, what is an idol? And the answer to that question is, thanks, Amy, more than God, which means things like these. Thanks, Amy. Chocolate can be an idol if you desire that more than God. Money, fame, success, many things that we put up in this world, we can actually desire them more than God. And when we do that, we are breaking the second commandment. So God says, I am God. I am to be worshipped, but I'm not just to be worshipped any old way. There's worship the proper way. And then the third thing God says, next one, Amy, is have a day to rest and thank God every week. Sometimes you might hear that talked about as number four there. Keep the Sabbath. Keep the Sabbath holy, okay? And for us, part of keeping the Sabbath holy and part of having a rest is to do something really important, which is come to church. Okay, if we're going to worship God and we're going to worship God properly and we want to keep the Sabbath or keep this rest pattern that God has set up for us, one of the things we need to do as Christians is to regularly come to church. And I think there's a number of reasons why we should come to church. So here's just a couple of them. First one is we obviously come to church to worship. That's what God actually wants us to do. He's creating us to worship him. When we gather together, that's what we do. We come together to worship. Second reason is not only to come to worship, we actually come to learn. When we open up God's word, we listen to him and he speaks to us and we come together to learn. That's part of why we come together on Sunday. And then the third thing, I think, which is important, is we actually join with other people. There's something about gathering together with lots of people to worship and to learn together rather than just sitting at home and doing that by yourself. So God has set up this pattern for us to do, and we'd be mad not to actually follow it and to actually do it. And that's what we're going to explore a little bit later on this morning. Okay, we're going to sing this morning Psalm 16. And Psalm 16 really is a more like a communal song in a sense. It's a psalm of David. It has lots of really good things that we're going to be exploring this morning. So if you like to stand in the church, we'll have a go at singing Psalm 16.
Preserve
Please be seated. Just before I pray, I'll just give you a bit of an update. For those of you who don't know, Robbie was rushed to hospital on Friday. She had some heart problems and I raced up to the emergency department. She's stable and recovering, but we'll be praying for her this morning. Also during the week, I went and saw Max. He's down in, Max Newton, he's down in Wodonga. He is doing well. Might be a while before he's actually let out, but he's hanging in there and they're looking after him. So we'll be praying for him this morning as well. Let me lead us in prayer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you that you do indeed watch over us. Father, that you care for us, that you know what we need even before we ask for it. Father, that your eye is indeed on the sparrow, and Father, that you watch over us as well. Lord, we know that there's nowhere that we can run away from you, that Father, if we go to the depths, the sea, you are there. And if we go to the highest of heights, you are there as well. And Father, as we've just sung in that song, that we're reminded that you are the one who draws the boundary lines for us. And Lord, how pleasant it is indeed when they are drawn for us. Father, we confess that so often we want to push the boundaries, wanting to know what we can and can't get away with. Father, rather than enjoying the space and the freedom which you have given us and provided us with. Heavenly Father, you know our struggles and you know our weaknesses. Father, we thank you that in weakness you are indeed the one that who can make us strong. That Father, when we feel alone, you are the one who is there. Father, when we feel afraid, you gently speak to us and say, do not be afraid. And Father, we pray for each one of us this morning. Lord, in our daily walk and the challenges and trials that we face, Father, please constantly remind us that you walk with us and that we need to lean and to trust on you. Heavenly Father, we want to lift up some brothers and sisters before you in our congregation this morning. We particularly pray for Robbie up in Wagga Hospital. And we pray, Lord, that she would make a full recovery. Father, that little issues that have been building up for a while, Father, that they would be addressed medically. And Father, that she would be well cared for and well looked after. Father, we pray for Max in hospital as well. Father, we thank you that he is slowly regaining his strength. And we do pray, Lord, that he'd be able to make a good recovery. Father, that he would that would be able to address the root cause of the problems that he is experiencing. Father, we thank you for Max and for Robbie. We thank you for their faith in you and their trust in you. Father, we thank you that they share the confidence that we do in the hope of the resurrection of Christ. And Father, in this difficult period for them both, Father, we pray that you would be guiding them and leading them at this time. Father, we thank you for those who look after us in places like hospitals. Father, trained people who know more about the body than we do. Father, we thank you for those who work to keep our streets safe. Father, who are there when there are accidents and tragedies. Father, what a blessing it is to live in a country with those things as well. But Father, we also pray for those who are struggling at this time financially and Father, struggling just to put a meal on the table. We pray for them too. Father, we are concerned about the direction of our society. Father, the good things that you have given us in marriage and family and relationships, Father, they are constantly being attacked and marginalized, and yet, Father, people are crying out for hope. Father, open people's eyes to see that even though our world is messed up and chaotic, Father, the answer is the gospel. A return to your values, a return to your good order, a return to your good world. Father, that people would see that you are indeed a loving and patient God, slow to anger and abounding in love and faithfulness. And so we pray as your word goes out into all the ends of the earth, Father, that would find people who need to hear of the message of the gospel, of the good news, that, Father, there is a better way, that this world is not all that there is. Father, that in Christ we have an eternal inheritance that can never perish or fade or spoil. So, Lord, bless the preaching of your word. Convict people of its truth. May there be a harvest of people who come to know the Lord Jesus. And it's in his name we pray and ask these things. Amen. Our reading this morning is from Hebrews chapter 10. And we're going to be reading from verse 19 to verse 25, and you're on page 851 if you've got a church Bible there. Hebrews 10, verse 19. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain that is his body. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing. But let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. This is God's word to us. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, it's good to hear your word, and it's even better to take it on board and to be obedient to it. And we just pray that as we work through this passage this morning and look at it, that you would really speak to our hearts and challenge us, we pray, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. There was a father who was showing his young son through a church building when they came upon a plaque on the wall of those who had died in the service of war. The little boy, being rather curious, asked his father, "Dad, what's this plaque for?" Father replied, "Son, this is a memorial to those who had died in the service." To which the little boy replied, "Which ones, Daddy, the morning or the evening service?" Now, obviously, the boy was confused, but the point remains. People do not have any trouble with coming up with reasons as to why they should stay away from church. The minister once said to me, "Church buildings are the only buildings built for people who do not want to come and use them." You can understand some of the reasons why non-Christians don't want to come to church, but it's surprising when Christians are slack in their attendance at church. Now, mind you, that's not a new problem. The early Jewish Christians had a fall off in attendance at church due to persecution, ostracism, apostasy, and arrogance. That may not be our experience today, but it's hard to find reasons why not to come to church. So this morning we're continuing in our mini-series entitled Tools for the New Year, tools which God has given us to equip us and to enhance us in our spiritual journey, tools which used will provide enormous benefit if only we would pick them up and actually use them. They may not be the flashiest and the newest gadget in the toolbox, but one which God has given his people and ones which are trustworthy all the time, tools which we can depend on. So 2 weeks ago, we looked at prayer. Prayer's the precious gifts. We can talk to God about anything and everything. Last week, we looked at the importance of reading the Bible. What's our attitude towards the Word of God? Do we delight in God's Word, or do we show the same contempt that King Jehoiakim, who burned the scroll containing the Word of God? And this morning, I want us to think about church attendance on the Lord's Day. Why is this important that we commit ourselves as Christians to doing this? Well, the place to start is think about, well, why did you come to church this morning? Maybe you came because your parents made you come. Maybe you came to catch up with friends over morning tea. Maybe you came because you like the music or the service style. Maybe you came to learn more about God. Maybe you came because that's just what you do on a Sunday morning. Maybe you came because you really don't have an excuse not to come. But when we come to church, what are we actually coming to? Well, we do primarily come to a building, or if you joined us online, a broadcast of, pardon me, of what is happening in the building. But church is way more than a physical building. The Bible has many different ways, or if you like, images of the church. The word church in Greek and Hebrew has the connotation of gathering or assembling. So Paul, when he writes his letters, he speaks to the people gathered in certain locations, such as Galatia or Thessalonica. And we also have references to churches where people gathered in individual homes. In other words, church is not so much defined as the location of the gathering, but the people who are gathering. So it's no surprise that the Bible uses the concept of the gathered people of God to describe church. So if you cast your mind back to Exodus 19 and 20, God's people gathered at Mount Sinai, and God specifically told them that they were his treasured possession. He would be their God, and they were to be his people. And that's a theme that runs right throughout Scripture. So Jeremiah 32:38, they will be my people, and I will be their God. And Ezekiel 37:27, my dwelling place will be with them, I will be their God, and they will be my people. The church is the people of God. It's also the body of Christ, as Paul talks about in Colossians, where Christ is the head of the body, the king and head of the church. The church is a body. It speaks of interconnectedness between the people who make up the church. We're connected to God, but we're also connected to one another. So let me outline a few reasons as to why gathering as God's people on Sunday is a good thing. The first is when the people of God gather, Christ promises to be present with his people. Listen to the description by the Apostle John from Revelation chapter 1. This is what John writes. He said, I turned around to see the voice that was speaking to me, and as I turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. And among the lampstands was someone like a son of man, dressed in a robe reaching down to his feet with a golden sash around his chest. His head and hair were like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were like blazing fire. His feet were like bronze glowing in a furnace. And his voice was like the sound of rushing waters. In his right hand, he held seven stars. And out of his mouth came a sharp double-edged sword. His face was like the sun shining in all its brilliance. Now, clearly the description here is of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's an amazing description, not to mention the links with Daniel 7 about the Son of Man. But the more amazing thing is that we're told at the end of the chapter that the seven lampstands are the seven churches of God. So this is a picture of Christ, who is king and head of the church, walking among the churches. So when we gather together as the people of God, God promises through his Son to be amongst those who are gathered. When we come together, we gather around Christ and we come to listen to him. And that's why the sacraments, the Lord's Supper and baptism, become important when we meet together, because God promises to be present in the sacraments. God affirms all his promises to us through simple things such as bread and water and wine, that he is our God and we are his people, and that he will never leave us or forsake us. Secondly, and very much relatedly, in response to Jesus, in whose name we gather, it gives us the opportunity to worship him. When we come together to worship, we not only do so as the people of God, we join together with the angels and saints of the heavenly assembly. That's what the writer of the Hebrews says. He says, you have come to Mount Zion, to the heavenly Jerusalem, to the city of the living God. You've come to thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly, to the church of the firstborn whose names are written in heaven. You have come to God, the judge of all men, to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. There is just something special about doing worship together. We as Christians struggle with this because of our individualistic culture that permeates our world. But you know as well as I do that an appreciation and an enjoyment of an informed group of music lovers at a symphony is more intense than a single listener at home. It's a great reformer, Martin Luther, he once said, quote, at home in my house, there is no warmth or vigor in me. But in the church, when the multitude is gathered together, a fire is kindled in my heart and it breaks my way through. Let me make two important related points about this. The first is that God not only wants to be worshipped, but has given his people guidance on how to do it. And that guidance is clearly given in the Ten Commandments. So the first and second commandment, you shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol in the form of anything in heaven above or on the earth beneath or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them. Not only are we to worship God, we are to worship in the way God chooses. So no idols, nothing which we can manipulate to turn God into something. God wants us to worship him in the way he has prescribed. And that's why God tells Timothy, until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to preaching and to teaching. So when we gather, we read God's word together. We hear the word of God preached. We pray. We sing together. We don't hold smoking ceremonies. We don't hold observe ritualistic cleansing methods, because that's not what God prescribes. Secondly, look at the fourth commandment. God says, remember the Sabbath by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. But the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. And on it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or daughter, nor your manservant or maidservant, nor your animals, nor the alien within your gates. God sets up a pattern where we are to rest for 1 day a week. God says, remember. It's not like a wedding anniversary where we go, yes, today is our wedding anniversary. No, it means we are to show our love to our husband or wife in a special way. We're to plan something. We're to set aside that time to give full attention to our spouse. And it's the same with God. The Sabbath is God's way of helping his people to set aside time to be devoted to him. 6 days are for work. The seventh is for worship. 6 days are for doing our work. The seventh is a Sabbath to the Lord our God. God has set this design up, and he set it up for his benefit and for our benefit. Because let's face it, if God made this optional rather than a command, his people would not take up the option. Because sometimes life just gets so busy that we actually just need to carve out that time to spend with God and to reset. A third reason why it's important to gather together is that when we come together, we do theology together. When we meet together and listen to the word of God being preached and share with one another over morning tea, we sharpen one's theology. It's what Paul says in Ephesians 3, where Paul prays for the Ephesian church that they may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Great theological truths are best learnt corporately with all the saints. Paul says in Colossians, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. Fourthly, meeting together on the Lord's Day gives opportunity for us to serve others and to be served by others. When you think about it, what's the most important command that God gives us? It is love God, which is seen by our worship and obedience to him. But what is the second? It's to love others. As a body of believers, we need to love one another, and we do this by building one another up. And God has given gifts to his church to do that. Paul says in Romans 12:4, just as each of us has one body and many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. And we have different gifts according to the grace that is given us. God gives gifts to his people who serve us when we gather together. And since the church is the body of Christ, the body is made up of many parts. The church is not made up of one person or should never revolve around one person. We all have a part to play in it, and that means using the gifts that God has given us. Not everyone's a teacher. Not everyone has gifts of administration. Not everyone has the gift of healing. But those who do have the gifts should be encouraged to use them for the building up and edification of the people of God. It's for these reasons that it's no wonder the writer of the Hebrews says that because of Jesus and all that he has done for us, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. Let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. And let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing. But let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Did you know the numbers? Did you see the number of let us in these verses? Each verse starts with a let us, and let us is plural. It's all of us. Let us draw near to God and hold to our hope. That's what we do when we come together. Let us think about and consider how we can spur one another on towards love and good deeds, how we can encourage one another. That's what we do when we gather. We come together to be refreshed, to reset, to refocus, and then to go out to be Christ's ambassadors into the world as we play our part in Christ's missions to see people coming to know Jesus. And then he says, the writer of Hebrews says, let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing in verse 25. Why would the writer of the Hebrews say that? Because the whole book of Hebrews is a letter addressed to Jewish Christians who want to drift away from Jesus and go back to the old ways of Judaism. The writer of Hebrews, he spends 10 chapters outlining the supremacy of Jesus, why is he so great and wonderful. So why would you ever want to go back to the old ways, says the writer of the Hebrews? Indeed, as Christians, why do we ever want to go back to our old sinful ways? Why do we ever want to abandon Jesus and believe that we can live life a better way? But people do it. You may know people like that. People who once ran the Christian life well, but then they fizzled out and they basically want nothing to do with Christianity. Well, how do we stop that? How do we ensure we keep running the Christian race well? Well, the writer of the Hebrews has some simple advice. Don't stop meeting together. In actual fact, he says, don't stop meeting together. But he actually also says, meet together more, especially as the day of Jesus draws near. Come together regularly to hear the gospel or the good news of the gospel. That we are sinful people who rebel against a just and holy God. But in Jesus, God is willing and able to forgive us of our sins. We need to hear that again and again, that God loves us so much. He sent Jesus to die so we can be forgiven. Every week we need to be affirmed that even though we stuff up and we make a meal of things, God accepts us and restores us through his Son and offers us eternal life, life forever with him. But to receive the gospel, you need to come to Jesus and constantly come to the foot of the cross. You know, people often say a person does not need to come to church to be a Christian. But remember this, if you're a husband or a wife, you don't have to go home either to be married. But should you choose such an action, you have a very poor relationship with your spouse. And it's the same with the Christian faith. Regular detachment from the gathered people of God just leads to one big problem, and that is the problem of isolation. As a kid, I grew up on the central coast of New South Wales, which in my time was not a big AFL area. Rugby league was a bit rough and tumble for me, so I took up soccer. And then all that changed when I went to high school, as rugby union was the only sport we had available. So I ended up having to play two seasons. Now, rugby union is a very technical game, and I had to learn fast the rules and how it is played. And one of the most important things to learn is not to do what commentators constantly call be isolated. Because in rugby union, every tackle is a contest for the ball. And if you have the ball and are tackled and you are by yourself, the chances that you're going to turn the ball over is very high. The more tacklers that they have in the tackle, the higher chance you're going to be isolated and lose possession. And in union, you need your teammates to help you. Otherwise, you know, you run the risk of letting them down. You run the risk of the coach not being happy and you could be off the team. Corporate worship is a means of God's grace to his people. And there are so many benefits of regularly gathering with the people of God Sunday by Sunday. So why cut yourself off from God's grace? Why spurn something that stands at the heart of the Christian faith, the grace of God, something that can never be earned and certainly not deserved? And sure, you may be able to survive for a while, but the nature of the Christian faith is relational to God and relational to one another. And that's why God's primary calling is to gather people from every tribe, from every nation and every tongue, the people of God. In Acts 2, we're told that the early church devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. And as a result, the church exploded. The gospel went to the nations, people were converted and baptized, and God was honored. If we use the simple tools which God has given us, then the same thing will happen in our day. They may be really basic tools, but they're the ordained means of God, which he uses to build his church and his people. And we would do really well to use them, not only in this year, but every year until Jesus returns. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your ordained means of grace. And we thank you that you've given us people around us to gather together, to be encouraged and equipped. We thank you that you've given your church people with different gifts to serve others for the building up of your church. Father, we pray for each of us that we would indeed make meeting together on the Lord's Day a necessary and important priority. Help us to see the great benefits of doing that week by week as we gather together as your people. Father, we thank you for these tools which you've given us. Please help us to use them this year and every year. Father, help us to persevere in our prayer life and in reading your word and in coming to church regularly. And in doing so, that you might build us to be the people that you want us to be. We pray and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. It's appropriate that we sing about the church and the church's one foundation, which is Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. So if you're in the church and like to stand, we'll sing this together.
Jesus Christ, her Lord.
Jesus, when talking to Peter, says, "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" And Simon Peter answered, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it." May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. If you're online, reminder, no online service next week. And thanks to Amy for running the technical side for us this morning.